Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Welcome to E-Ticket to Broadway, where Broadway meets Main Street. Here's your host, my pal, David Alpert.
Thank you for listening to another episode of E-Ticket to Broadway, where our guests may have overcome their stage fright, but will never overcome their fear of Snow White's scary adventures. Are you following E-Ticket on Instagram? Come join the fun and play games and answer trivia throughout the week, and see photos and videos of our incredible Broadway guests living their best lives at the Disney parks. If you'd like to be featured on the Instagram page, you can. Simply head to www.eticketpodcast.com to sign up to become a supporter on Patreon. You can support more episodes of this podcast and help grow Gilana's Fund, an organization committed to making the world a more inclusive and accepting place. Imagine it's a small world, but like in real life. On this episode, I get to giggle with a dear friend, a Tony nominee from the Tony Award-winning musical Fun Home. Make sure you keep your hands, arms, and legs inside the podcast at all times. And please welcome to E-Ticket to Broadway, Emily Skeggs. My dear friend, Emily Skeggs, I'm so excited to chat with you about all things Disney parks. Thank you for joining on E-Ticket to Broadway.
I'm so excited to be here.
This is super fun. So let's get right to the important items first. You were Tony nominated for your role as Medium Allison in the Tony Award-winning musical Fun Home, and you've starred in movies both on television and the big screen. So my question for you is, how excited are you to play Dopey in the live-action movie of my life story?
Oh, biggest honor of my life. Biggest honor.
It's going to be great.
I can't wait. Honestly, I feel like I will have truly made it and peaked in my career when I am a Disney cartoon. When I am voicing a cartoon or doing some sort of Disney live action, that is the pinnacle of success
for
me. Yeah,
because I think you already are a Disney character in real life.
Yes, I live it. I live it. So, you know, it might as well happen.
Yeah. And I think a few years ago, we first discovered that we both love Dopey and...
Icon. Gay icon.
Oh.
I'd argue.
There it is. Okay.
I'd argue.
I mean, he does live alone with six other men. And their beds are super close to each other. And they do sing and dance in rhythm.
That's true. There's evidence. There's evidence. I mean.
Yeah.
Someone should investigate. We should get a podcast going on that.
Yeah. It could be this one.
It could be this.
Anyway, let's talk about Disneyland and Disney World. But did you grow up watching Disney movies?
Obsessed. One time my parents, they realized I was allergic to antibiotics and they had to take
did
me
not
to
expect
hospital.
You to say that.
I know, but we're diving right ahead. In. And they had to take me to the hospital. I turned bright orange and I had a fever of like 104 and they thought I was going to die and they brought me home. And the first thing I did is I popped in The Little Mermaid.
Uh-huh.
And just started watching movies. I was like, I went from being comatose to popping in a little VHS of the little
yeah.
movie. So I was pretty obsessed. Obsessed.
Did you have a favorite Disney movie as a kid?
Little Mermaid, Pocahontas, Mulan.
Mulan is so great.
Mulan. Ooh, Mulan. I'm so excited for the live action of that.
Totally. She's a badass.
She's so amazing. I love her. I used to like set up little stones in my backyard and like hop from stone to stone pretending. I even had a boombox and I had the little cassette tape soundtrack of Mulan. And I like always like made my own little Disney World because I never went really. I went once.
Because you grew up in the New York area, right?
I did. I grew up in the Upper West Side of Manhattan, which is its own little Disney World.
I guess. When you say that you loved Pocahontas, when you got to work with Judy Kuhn, did you die?
Oh, yeah. We used to run around backstage in Fun Home with Colors of the Wind blasting on a Bluetooth speaker, and everyone would just completely bust into her dressing room screaming and dancing. It was amazing.
Did she find it funny or traumatizing?
No, she's so wonderful. She of course, you know, she plays along. She loves it. I think, you know, she's honored. It's an iconic part of a lot of people's lives.
Yeah, no kidding. And I'm sure she loved when you dressed up as Miko, the raccoon, and sat next to her.
Oh, what I wouldn't give to dress as a raccoon and sit at Judy Kuhn's feet right now. Yeah. What I wouldn't give.
If you were to be cast as a Disney character, which character do you think it would be? Who do you most relate to?
Oh my God. I think I'm definitely more of like a goofy sidekick kind of character than like a leading lady.
Okay. And when you say goofy sidekick, you're using like the adjective goofy, not the proper noun goofy.
Correct.
We have to be very careful. Yeah, because this is about Disney Park. Yeah.
See, I'm learning. I'm ignorant to a lot of this, and it's okay. Learning because although I love Disney, I'm not very knowledgeable about the parks. I've only been twice.
But what's funny is the juxtaposition of those two trips, which is what I want to talk about specifically.
Yes, wonderful.
And we'll come back to figure out like which sidekick. You know, it could be Miko.
It could be. I think I'm definitely some sort of animal. I don't think I am human.
100%.
Animal creature. I think I could probably dip a toe into the Toy Story world. I know it's a different world, but I think I could be a toy.
Yes.
Or some sort of alien being. But I'm definitely not human. No.
Yeah. I can almost see you as Figaro from Pinocchio, the cat, potentially.
Oh, I love that.
I have to keep thinking about this.
I'm going to pull up a picture of Figaro right now.
Oh, yeah. He's this beautiful black and white cat. Ugh. Do you also like puppets and marionettes?
I do enjoy puppets, but I
want to say you're one of the mice from Cinderella. It's possible. They're super crafty.
Great. Yeah. I was going with like, oh, Emily Skeggs, that mousy one.
No,
That squeaky little mousy. Galileo, Galileo.
Were you giving me Bohemian Rhapsody?
I was. Is it enjoyable for people to just listen to me laugh? I love laughing.
Yeah, I think that's so. I mean, for the few of you that are still listening to this episode, I'm like, no, it's great. We want to laugh.
Okay, great.
You know,
let's laugh.
When you shared with me a video of yourself at Disneyland, I laughed out of joy because you looked so happy. And so let's get to this. Talk to me about this first trip to Walt Disney World when you were 4 years old, I think.
Yes. So I was 4 years old and I was talking to my parents about it because I sort of vaguely remembered it being some sort of like business trip. Like I knew we were there for mommy for some reason. And I remembered one night they had to leave me with a babysitter for some reason. And I was always like, why did they leave me with a babysitter in Disney World? This is so bizarre. And I just got the skinny on it. It was an all expenses paid trip to a Discover magazine event in 1994 where they were trying to, I don't know, do some business with my mom. So they paid her flight and my dad's flight to Disneyland or Disney World. Sorry. Oops.
It's okay.
But they didn't pay mine.
So did you go to the park?
Yes. They put us up at a hotel and it was very nice. I mean, it's just kind of wild to me. Like, I always forget that this is a part of like the business world, like free trips to things. Like,
I don't know what you're talking about.
I've never had that before. So I guess that it would also be a pinnacle of my career when I get a free trip to somewhere. But
so you're 4 years old. You go with your parents to Walt Disney World.
And it's for my mom's business trip. So one night they leave me with a babysitter and it's the first time they've ever left me with a stranger before. And
which character was it?
It was an older woman, like that they had hired from who knows where.
No, I'm saying like it must have been a Disney character, like full costume.
It's like I wish it had been. That probably honestly would have been more traumatizing for me because then that night alone in the hotel room while the babysitter sat in I think like the suite or whatever, I watched the California Dancing Raisins commercial and had a recurring nightmare ever since.
Oh no!
So and that's for not even a Disney. Long. No, and that's not even Florida. That's the other side of the country.
Oh yeah, you're right.
California. I don't know what was happening. yeah, but they had to attend a cocktail party and like a dinner event in order to redeem this trip.
Did you go into the parks as well?
Yes, and we stayed on a hotel that was like right on the monorail.
Okay.
And they took me on They took me on the character breakfast.
Okay.
Charade, you know, where you go around, you pose with the characters. And I deeply remember that. And I had a little autograph book. And I was so excited to get Daffy Duck's autograph.
It's probably Donald or Daisy.
Donald. Maybe it was Donald.
Yeah. Daffy's actually from a different world. They're probably cousins. They're probably related. They probably meet at conventions.
I hope so.
Yeah. But this is probably Donald or Daisy.
Oh, God. Excuse my ignorance. I'm so sorry.
You were 4. It's okay. You were still learning.
I was 4. A big giant duck head came towards me and it signed my book and that felt important.
Yes, of course. Did you ever find at the Fun Home stage door a duck head came at you for an autograph?
Not literally.
Yeah, okay, good. What's Emily doing? She's signing some ducks.
I'll playbill. Sign for anybody who asks.
Yeah, that's very kind.
Not discriminate.
So was the going to the parks traumatic at all, or was purely the commercial in the hotel room with the babysitter?
No, it was also really, really hot because I think it was the summer in Florida and my mom took me to Thunder Mountain Railroad and she said that, this is a quote from my mom, your heart was beating so badly, I thought you were going to have a heart attack. And it's like one of the top 3 things that she feels most guilty about. And the other two things that she feels guilty about are accidents where like I rolled off the bed and hit my head as a child or like, you know, like hit my head while she was carrying me or something.
Waiting in line for Big Thunder.
And my heart pounding on the ride being so terrified. I was terrified.
I mean, that's a young age to go on that ride.
It is.
And did you go on it or did you were like, I'm out?
No, we went on it. And that's what almost gave me the heart attack, according to my mother.
I'm so sorry.
No, it's okay. Listen, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, right?
Yeah, that's like when I went on Honey, I Shrunk the Audience in Tomorrowland at Disneyland. I was so scared. And then at one point, it's like a 3D movie where there's stuff under your seat that would affect you. And
they
were like, where is the snake? And my mom and I were like, we're leaving. And we got up and left. I was like, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah. Sometimes it's too real, and it's not worth traumatizing yourself in that way.
Yeah. I'm okay, like, on the rides. Like, Haunted Mansion, I'm okay, because I'm like, you know what? If I just close my eyes, I'm fine. But on some rides, like, roller coasters, of course, you're like, I'm still going to feel this. Or Honey, I Shrunk the Audience, when there was, like, a rat tail that would, like, hit your feet. I was like, nope. Unsubscribe.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't need that. You know, it's funny, too, though. Like, I reclaimed my Disney experience.
Yes. Tell us about that.
And I went with a friend this past year for a couple of hours.
What?
It was so silly. We had an opportunity. We had a friend who worked in the park. And so we saw the Frozen show.
Mm-hmm.
It was very fun. Fabulous. I cried. It's so magical.
It's a great production.
And we rode a couple rides. But even what is the log flume ride?
Splash Mountain.
And you go down underneath and it's like you're in an acid trip and there's a wolf, you know, with a makeshift kitchen. Like, for some reason, this wolf has an oil can, but it doesn't have shoes. I'm confused. Where's the line?
It's that Splash Mountain ride. We could have a whole hour-long dramaturgical conversation because I don't get it. And
I don't get it, but to be clear, I love it. I love the aesthetic of it. I love the mushrooms. I love how terrifying it gets for no reason.
Yeah. Like, they're screaming at you to, like, go to your laughing place. I was like, why are you mad at me?
Yeah.
What do I do?
Yeah. And if I find a hole and I follow it underground, will people be angry and will things be glowing? Like, what are we teaching our children?
Yeah. There's a moment, too, where Brer Bear is, like, strung up by his hands and feet.
Yes.
And it's not anatomically correct, perhaps.
Oh.
Which is probably the better choice. Meaning you're like, in real life, you might be seeing more of this bear. But on the Disneyland attraction, we're not going to see that.
Well, aren't some of the bears wearing underwear? Why is this bear not wearing underwear? This is what I don't understand. What I get a little bit confused about the rules of clothing and
correct
characters.
Well, sure. I mean, like, Donald wears a shirt and no pants. Mickey wears a pants and no shirt.
Imagine if a man walked around with a shirt and no pants. I dated a guy who said that he thought the most humiliating thing for a man is to be wearing only a t-shirt. And that always stuck with me because that is exactly his uniform.
Well, maybe that's why Donald Duck is so angry all the time.
Is he an angry character?
He does have some temper issues.
Oh.
I do. I hope he and Daisy work through this.
Are they going through a thing? I haven't been keeping up.
I'm not sure. I mean, what I love about that is, as angry as he is, Mickey and Goofy have stuck by his side.
Mm.
They all balance each other out.
That's what friends are for.
Oh, that's sweet. Emily, you shared with me this photo that's on the Instagram page, this on-ride photo of you on Radiator Racers, this amazing car ride. And you look intense.
Okay, so.
Tell me about this.
That was a really monumental experience for me. I am not really a huge rides person. I grew up in New York City. My parents really didn't really take me to, you know, the parks, roller coaster parks or anything. I like rode the Cyclone a bunch of times as growing up, which is also thrilling and terrifying. And I don't really know why. I don't think I'm going to do that anymore because I'm old and I have a bad neck. I hadn't been on a ride, any kind of roller coaster, in years.
Yeah.
And I
– Price since Big Thunder.
No. You know, I went on a roller – last time I went on a roller coaster was the night before I kissed my boyfriend for the first time of 7 going on 8 years. So I think rides have bring a huge emotional thing out of me. It's really interesting. I think like that I rode a bunch of roller coasters that weekend, and then we pulled the plug and we started seeing each other.
There's a wonderful moment on the Imagineering story on Disney Plus where they're talking about some of these, you know, high thrill rides. And they say some of the things that humans want is to feel like they're on the brink of death and then be pulled away from that. And then you feel like you're in love and you can kiss. And that's Disney magic, I think.
I agree. That was the first ride that I took on my reclaiming trip to Disneyland. That ride was the first ride we did when we got there because it was the one with the shortest line.
How is that with the shortest line? Did you single rider it? Did you like go in the special single rider line?
We did single rider it. We single ridered it, which was thrilling because I didn't even know that was a thing. I don't understand. Like my friend Oren, who took me, shout out to Oren Whalen. He grew up in Malibu and had like a family pass to Disneyland and used to skip school and like go to Disney. He's obsessed, wanted to be an Imagineer. So he knows everything and he's fabulous. I love him. So he was like getting the single rider line and we all just kind of, and I ended up in this car with this family that it was a dad and a couple of like older kids and a mom, but it seemed very obvious that this was a tradition for them. And the dad was the most excited to be on the ride. And I'd never experienced a ride like this before. It's so real. And like, it's a car. So it's, to me, it seems like so stupid. I literally have nightmares where I'm driving cars and like going off of cliffs. I can't play Mario Kart because cars just like freak me out too much. But this, something about this ride was, it was my favorite of the whole day.
It's an incredible ride.
It's so joyous. And the world that they managed to create and the feeling of like actually being in a speeding car. And I loved the Cars franchise. I don't know why. I just really love those cars. But it was thrilling. I cried. I came off the ride crying. Half because like it shook something emotionally in me, just like being like shook around and like being in a car and not crashing. I guess. Being in a car that can do something like that and not dying is so amazing. And then also this family, experiencing it with this strange family and like, you know, getting to know them and talking to them and experiencing this joy that, you know, it's something that they look forward to every year is taking this ride together. That was like, I'm such a sentimental person. Somebody called me sapphosexual the other day and I was like, oh yeah, that's exactly what I am.
But that's the magic of Disney too. Just this beautiful environment that the good person wins, that you're always going to achieve the goal on the rides. But Radiator Racers has this incredible thing that it's part dark ride and then part roller coaster. And it's themed so perfectly. I love it so much.
And the animatronics, everything is so, it's gorgeous, gorgeous.
Emily, if Medium Allison got a job at the parks, which job do you think she would have?
There are jobs, right, where you can draw people.
Yes.
I think she would do some sort of illustrative work. But I also think she would – I mean, her father passed on so much knowledge about the way things were made and the way things were created and the style of – things and the history of things that I think I could see her being in some design aspect.
Yeah, she could be an Imagineer creating rides.
An Imagineer. Or... Yes, I always forget the term.
Well, what's funny is like, because that's what I thought. On Main Street, they have artists either, you know, sketching Disney characters, but also like sketching guests' silhouettes on Main Street. Like there's a lot of cool art jobs. I think she might kill it.
She would definitely kill it. She would definitely kill it, but I think she has more to offer.
Okay. Maybe that's like she does it on the weekends and then the rest of the time she's building and
for inspiration. Right. For inspiration and to connect with the people.
Emily, you have done an amazing job of representing incredible queer characters throughout your career. And I know that Disney is doing a great job of bringing more queer representation into its films, everything from, you know, the new shorts out by Pixar. And even in the live action Beauty and the Beast, where Josh Gad's character of LeFou had a moment of flirting with a man. How do you think we can encourage that progress to continue forward?
I think the more we talk about how much we enjoy these characters and these storylines, and the more we share the impact that they have on our lives and our families' lives and our communities' lives, the more Disney and hopefully other companies and artists will see that those are storylines that really matter. And they're storylines that bring us joy and hope. And, you know, I think the big thing about a lot of Disney movies and animated movies in general is there a lot of them are about this big journey and this struggle, and in the end that people find themselves, or you know, these characters gain a sense of like strength or freedom or something. And I think the more that you show people going through that journey and gaining strength, the more people can find that in their own lives. And so I'd love to see more representation of all people and experiences, queer included.
100%. I love that. I can't wait to have a huge animated Disney movie where the lead is a gay man and I can go meet him in the parks.
Oh, yes. And be like,
that's so great. And just, but again, progress takes time, and I'm thrilled that we're starting to see it. And
yes,
we want to keep encouraging that.
And I really appreciate that question, David, because I think it's really important. And as a member of the queer community, I'm really thankful.
Emily, I love you very much, and I know a lot about your personal life.
I love
and
you very
one
much.
Of which is that, well, thank you. You have an amazing garden at your home.
Oh.
Do you ever pretend to be Alice in Wonderland and bring your cat into the garden and start to sing to the animals and
pretend?
The flowers?
Pretend. I am. Yeah. I kid you not. I wake up every morning and I say, how's everybody doing? And I check in with everybody and I watch, you know, it's been amazing. Our yard went from kind of like a dirt pit that literally like the sand lot sort of thing with a couple of beautiful old fruit trees to this beautiful garden that I love so much. And all this wildlife is coming back. And
yeah.
The other day I saw this fantastic little it's like a snake slithery thing. It's like a lizard with no arms. And this yard went from a literal dirt pit where there was not even an insect to slithery creatures with no arms.
It's a wonderland.
It is a wonderland. It is a wonderland that took a year to create myself with the help of some other people. And it's amazing. It's amazing.
And you know, Alice had a cat named Dinah. And you have
yes,
a cat,
she does.
Not named Dinah, but I'm sure you both could go into the garden together. Like, I want to see you in a blue dress with a white apron.
Okay, all right.
Pull back, a photo shoot.
I'm very inspired by this, actually. I would love to see the new modern Alice in Wonderland, where it's a not a cis white woman and it's a cat named Bud,
yeah.
You know, something like interesting, something. Let's have like a modern retelling of Alice in Wonderland.
I love it. Let's do it.
Oh, Phooey, we'll be right back. Oh, what's the big idea with these commercials? Oh, with this revise.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com.
Great expectations.
The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
It's time for Fast Pass Answers.
Emily Skeggs, here come your Fast Pass Answers. You're going to have 30 seconds on the clock after I ask the first question, okay? So just rapid fire. Are you ready to go?
Oh, joy. I'm ready.
Here we go. Emily Skeggs, what is your favorite Disney movie?
Pocahontas.
Name a character from Beauty and the Beast.
Gaston.
Favorite Broadway musical.
Fun Home.
Name one of the seven dwarfs.
Dopey.
Favorite Disney song.
Colors of the Wind. Hello, Judy Kuhn.
Name another performer from Fun Home.
Judy Kuhn.
True or false, you live with a cat.
True, baby.
Time.
Did I get them all right?
You did perfectly. I think every answer was Judy Kuhn related.
I got Judy on my mind. She's a very special woman and, you know, I love her and she deserves our love. Shout out to Judy.
I couldn't tell if when you paused after I asked you to name a character from Beauty and the Beast, if you couldn't think of one or if you were just finding your best guess.
I was like going through my mind and I was like, there's a fork. there's a candlestick guy. What's the candlestick guy's name? I don't quite remember.
But what's funny is I actually mentioned two of the characters because they're title characters. You could have said Beauty and you could have said the Beast.
Oh, yeah.
Put on your thinking ears. It's trivia time. Oh, boy.
Okay, Emily, here is your trivia question. Walt Disney has been famously quoted that it was all started by a mouse, and Mickey Mouse is perhaps the most beloved Disney character. Quite ironically, which type of animal has quite a dozen feral members that live at the Disneyland Resort and help control the, quote, pest, end quote, population?
What is cats?
Yes, it is. The Disneyland Disney? Cats.
They have cats?
So in my research, I mean, like, I've actually only seen one of the Disneyland cats, but, like, there's reports that there's a couple dozen to about 200. They take care of them. They spay and neuter the cats, but they're there to help control the pest population, meaning mice.
I think that's wonderful. As a cat lover, I think that's wonderful. I have been looking into getting a working cat myself from my backyard because I grow a bunch of vegetables and they will keep the rats away.
Yeah.
From my vegetables. And some cats are just not meant to be inside. Some cats will not live happy lives inside and you won't live a happy life with them. So I'm all for it.
I definitely think that in our next lives, we're both going to come back as feral cats of Disneyland. It's my dream.
I was hoping like a wild cat, like in Patagonia or something, but sure, you can be a cat.
Okay, you can do that cat. I'll do the other one.
I want to be a puma in Patagonia.
And I want to live under the castle and have mice for lunch.
And eat the mice that eat all the crap that people leave on the floor in Disneyland. What an ecosystem.
They have a lot of good food options now. They do.
It's not the food that's at Disney that I'm worried about. It's the food that people bring to Disney.
But you can't bring out outside food.
Yeah, but you do. Sorry, yeah, I'm poor. I brought a sandwich.
Girl, you got to come with me with my Disney visa.
I do. I do have to come with you.
Emily, here comes your e-ticket to Broadway game. This is called Changing My Major to Throne. All of these Disney characters became royalty in their respective films. And it is your task to tell me who I'm talking about. Are you ready for changing my major to throne?
Ready as I'll ever be, David.
So again, these are all Disney characters that have become royalty. They've literally changed their major to throne.
Good for them.
I'm going to keep saying changing my major to throne.
Yeah, go for it.
Number one. In Frozen, Princess Anna falls in love right away with Hans and later in love with Kristoff, who, spoiler alert, marries her in Frozen 2, turning this mountain man into royalty. What fellow Tony-nominated actor gave voice to Kristoff?
I'm so bad with names. It runs in the family. I can see him. Okay. I can hear him.
Tell me anything about him.
He's so talented and beautiful. He is. I'm so sorry I've forgotten his name.
I'm going to give you a hint.
Please.
He was in Spring Awakening and Hamilton.
Oh, my frickin' frickus. Frickle my pickle.
His last name rhymes with...
He was in that beautiful TV show.
Yes.
And I love him. Jonathan.
Yes.
Groff.
Yes, Jonathan Groff. You did
it. Do you see this? Maybe it was all the codeine I was on when I was 4 years old, but I cannot remember a thing. I cannot remember names to save my life. I'm very sorry, Jonathan Groff. I love you. I do.
Here's your next changing my major to throne question.
Oh, God,
Tony Award winner. And what?
I'm scared.
This one's way easier.
Okay.
Tony Award winner Anika Noni Rose gave voice to Tiana, who ends up marrying a prince and stepping into a royal position. In her movie, what amphibian did Tiana kiss?
A frog. I love that movie so much. That song is such a beautiful, beautiful song. She did such a beautiful, beautiful job.
I love in Disneyland, if you go to New Orleans Square, Tiana makes an appearance so often. She sings. She's great.
Love Tiana.
Okay, here comes question number three. This woman who came to life on the silver screen in 1950 ends up marrying a prince and becoming royalty. And instead of putting a ring on it, he puts a shoe on it.
Oh, that's sweet sleep and beauty. No, it's not Cinderella.
It's Cinderella. I think you knew it was Cinderella and just misspoke. I think it's okay.
Well, I think it's something about the shoes. I always think, should they really match Sleeping Beauty's crown? Like, I don't know why. Like, I think of those shoes and I see her crown, the Sleeping Beauty crown.
What?
Doesn't she wear a little crown in Sleeping Beauty?
Sleeping Beauty does.
For some reason, when I think of Cinderella's shoes, I also think of Sleeping Beauty's crown.
Interesting.
So the stories get intermixed for me.
There's this terrible joke from the Jungle Cruise, which is, why is Cinderella bad at soccer? Because she's always running away from the ball.
Oh.
But it's not her fault. Her coach is a pumpkin.
Oh.
I know, that's the Jungle Cruise.
That's great. Love it.
Changing my major to throne, number four. This average dude, who is always one step ahead of everyone else, has a best friend who steals apples.
And Aladdin!
Ends up marrying the princess whose best friend is a tiger, therefore becoming royalty for real this time.
Aladdin!
Yeah, it's
still I'm sorry, Aladdin. I couldn't keep it in. I needed to let it out because I knew the answer and I was so happy.
Yes. It's Abu. You know, Abu really helped you.
Shout out your joy.
Yes. Do you know the name of the tiger?
I remember her saying Raja.
Yes, Raja.
I remember saying Raja in that really beautiful voice.
Yes. Okay, here's your last changing my major to throne. This queen assumes her royal position by marrying her childhood best friend and was brought to life on Broadway by a literal Tony Award-winning musical theater queen, Miss Heather Headley, who has had the honor of starring in not one, but two Disney on Broadway shows, both of whom are women with royal titles. What is the name of the Disney character who becomes a queen by marrying her best friend?
Marrying her best friend?
Mm-hmm.
Heather Headley. Shit. Fricus.
I'm going to give you a hint. Can you feel the love tonight?
Oh, no. The Lion King.
It's the Lion King. Do you remember the name of that queen?
Mala.
So close.
Nala.
Nala. It's Nala.
I think isn't that cool? She also played to get my brain tested.
No, no, no. She also, you know, yes. was the Princess of Nubia in Aida.
Oh, yes. She's so fabulous in that.
Congratulations, Emily Skeggs. You did very well on changing my major to throne. Apologies to the creative team of Fun Home for changing that.
No apologies necessary. It's an homage. It's an honor.
It's time for some tough choices. Let's play Tweedledee or Tweedledum.
Okay, here's your final game. This is called Tweedledee or Tweedledum. I'm going to give you two options, and you just let me know which one you prefer.
Okay. Oh, I love these Tweedledees and these Tweedledums. Oh, I love them, David.
Great. Well, like, you have to hear them first.
I know, but I'm just so excited.
First one, Tweedledee or Tweedledum, Colors of the Wind or Just Around the River Bend?
Just Around the River Bend because it's a little bit more adventurous. And,
yes,
and
me too.
I love it. I always want to be just going just around the river bend. That's like my perfect day.
Tweedledee or Tweedledum, It's a Small World or Splash Mountain?
I have to choose?
No. It's a fun podcast. You can say both.
For different reasons. You know, I think It's a Small World I hold very dear in my heart, and I think that is very important. But the Splash Mountain ride is, you know what? It's a small world.
Okay. There it is. Tweedledee or Tweedledum, Changing My Major to Joan or the Tiki Room theme song?
Changing My Major to Joan.
Okay, come on.
I'm really sorry, but Tiki's canceled. Tiki's canceled.
There's a lot of listeners right now that just gasped.
I know,
like I did.
I'm so sorry. But
listen, that's not fair either, because Changing My Major to Joan is an incredible song. And the Sherman Brothers also wrote an incredible song. They're in two different camps. It was just for fun.
It's just for fun, everybody.
Tweedledee or Tweedledum, The Feral Cats of Disneyland, or all of the young child performers who were in Fun Home?
I have to choose between them?
In this
fun
game?
I'm choosing between cat children that protect a magical place and real children that also protect magical things. I'm going to say the real children is the way to go.
That's fair. I'm glad you answered that way.
The real children.
However, I do want to point out that I mentioned that I want to become a feral cat of Disneyland.
I know.
So,
that's why
ouch.
I hesitated. That's no, why I hesitated.
No, I'm very glad you chose the real people.
You know, but you just got to watch out, because I do care about the cats and I don't want PETA coming after me.
Here's the deal. This is just a game and we want to love everyone.
We love everyone. We love everyone.
As long as that person loves everyone as well.
Yes. Cats and children. We love them both, to be clear.
And for you and I, our cats are our children.
Also true.
Emily Skaggs, the next time you go to Disneyland, what's the first thing you want to do?
I'm getting on that Cars ride.
Right to Radiator Racers.
I'm going straight to Radiator Racers, but then I also, so I know that Star Wars is a controversial topic when it comes to the Disney community, but for my father, that would bring so much joy.
He loves Star Wars.
He loves Star Wars, and he has grew up on Star Wars in the same way we grew up on Disney. So okay. To be able to take him to that place and watch him light up, I mean, like, for Christmas this year, we told him we'll take him. So, and just that slight amount of joy on his face. And, you know, he asked, like, can I get a lightsaber? You know, like that is so special. That's really special. And so, you know, let's go to Star Wars. I want to give him that opportunity.
For me, as someone that was not familiar with Star Wars, and when they announced Galaxy's Edge coming into Disneyland, I definitely was apprehensive. But knowing that there's so many fans of it, and it's the same kind of passion that I hold towards Disney, it definitely makes it feel more right.
Exactly. I mean, you know, these characters might not be relevant to kids in the future. That's how culture happens and culture changes and new things
come
around.
Disneyland is not a museum. Disneyland is not a museum.
Right.
I also hope that on the trip that I'll go with you and that we can just take pictures in front of the castle together. And then we're going to go to Snow White's Grotto and look at Dopey.
Shall we wear costumes, like some sort of cosplay? Are you a cosplayer?
I think we could. You know, no, I haven't. I mean, unless you count like going as David Alpert at Disneyland is a costume.
I'll cosplay as you at Disneyland.
And I'll cosplay as Medium Allison.
Perfect.
I would say that you can Disney bound, which is where you wear contemporary clothing that really, you know, signals your brain towards a specific character. So we could definitely do that. I'm 100% doing Dopey. We could do that.
Should we both do Dopey?
No, in that sense, I'll be Mickey and then you can be Dopey.
Well, you can be Dopey if you want to be Dopey.
We could be two Dopeys. I'm really sad that when I was a kid, I have a photo of myself with Dopey, but Dopey rarely makes an appearance on the like he'll be in parades and on Fantasmic once in a while. Maybe the other six get jealous that he gets all the attention.
He's definitely the cutest.
Well, I think
in my opinion.
Accurate. Yes.
In my opinion.
Yeah.
These words are my own. But I think Dopey is the cutest. I think he's the cutest little cutie. We're going to find him, David. We're going to go to Disney and we are going to find Dopey dressed as Dopey.
I literally asked Snow White. I'm like, Snow White,
what
listen.
What did she say?
She says he's in the mines. And I was like,
well,
I get
why
it,
are they keeping Dopey in the mines so much? He needs sun. He needs vitamin D. Get Dopey out of the mines. I'm going to start a campaign.
Dopey.
I don't like that. He's in the mines?
Well, there were miners.
Yeah, but
that's what they do.
I don't know. Get him out of the mines. I want to see these mines. I would love to see. Is there a mine? Can you see the mines? Is there a ride where you can see the mines?
At Disney World, they've got the mine train. But in California, you do get to, on Snow White Scary Adventures, which they're redoing a little bit, you do get to momentarily take a little drive through their mines.
Mm.
But that ride is so terrifying. Usually that's a moment where I'm like recovering from screaming.
Oh, God.
It's a really terrifying ride. Anyway, Emily Skaggs, this has been so much fun. I cannot wait to go on Radiator Racers with you and scream.
I can't wait.
And look at that on-ride photo where you are just living your best life.
I don't want to stop talking about Disney with you. I could talk about it forever.
We can continue on, but I think we're going to say goodbye to our listeners. But Emily, thank you for your time and story and heart. And we'll see you at the parks.
Thank you for having me, David, and thanks for listening. Love you all.
Oh, that was a fun interview.
I just love this podcast, don't you?
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No.
No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.